On a sweltering morning, a parade of local dignitaries praised the rickety foundation of a new primary school as village women sang in celebration. 5 years ago, this village of 7,000 inhabitants deep in the scrublands of southern Mali literally struck gold when a pair of South African companies opened the nearby Marula mine. The school is not being built with the dollars from the mine's nuggets, but with financial donations from Europe and the labor of African youth volunteers. Sanso's mayor, Dioting Mariko, says the mine has brought little to the village. With the mine's opening, Mr. Mariko said, people thought Sanso would be able to develop. But now he doubts that will happen. The mine has paid for construction of one mosque and 12 school classes in 4 villages. That is all, he said. Dirt poor Mali is among the low and middle income countries that extract 2/3 of the planet's gold. During the past decade, gold has replaced cotton as Mali's top export. But rural communities like Sanso are beginning to negotiate for a fairer share of the country's gold wealth and to make foreign mining companies accountable for potentially devastating long-term health and environmental damages from their operations. The Marula gold mine also offers a cautionary tale for villages once united in poverty and now divided by wealth. Foreign miners and prostitutes, lured by new job opportunities, have more than tripled Sanso's population in 5 years. And local officials say likely brought in HIV/AIDS to the village for the first time as well. Mohamed Togola is a former school teacher from Sanso who works as Marula Mine's community relation liaison. Mr. Togola says the mine has created jealousy and enormous divisions among villagers who have profited from the mine and those who have not.
There's so much expectation from the community side. But for the case of Marula, for instance, there's a kind of mistrust and misunderstanding between the community and the mine. They have different view of things. The mine would like to make the much more benefit possible, as the community would like to profit from that benefit.
Marula is jointly operated by 2 South African companies, Randgold Resources and AngloGold Ashanti. Since it opened in October 2000, the mine has generated nearly $180 million in profits. Each of the 2 companies has a 40% stake in the mine. The Malian government owns the rest. Marula's acting manager, Samba Tori, takes a visitor on a tour of Marula's open-pit mine, which looks like a big red crater amid this region of tall grasses and trees.
We are in front of the main pit, which is mainly 1K20. 1 kilometer 20 by 800 meter, and the final depth will be 200 meter. We start the exploitation with pit 1 on the southwest corner there, and it was about 300,000 ton of oxide, and all the remaining are sulfate. Mainly the ore is pyrite and arsenopyrite.
Cyanide, a poison used to extract the ore, is detoxified in a fenced-off pond and recycled for further use. As a result, Mr. Tori said, there is no chance of cyanide contamination, a major worry with gold mines. And during an earlier PowerPoint presentation at Marula's air-conditioned headquarters, Mr. Tori said the mine has already invested $1.2 million in a hodgepodge of development projects. Besides the schools and mosques cited by Mayor Mariko, he said, the money has been spent to upgrade a local health center and build community gardens and a rice paddy.
Before the mine established here, did you assess the level of poverty of this community? I invite you to do what? To come and do the socio-economic review.
But maybe you can tell me.
No? Before, during, and after, and you will think yourself if the mine contributes to enhance the well-being of this community or not.
And you're saying it does?
Yes, 100%.
While Marilla and its miners' quarters are lit up at night, Sanso, about 7 miles away, has no electricity or paved roads. And while some villagers, like 27-year-old Sherry Mariko, have found well-paying jobs at the mine, many others have not. Mr. Mariko said working at the mine is very difficult. He works a 16-hour shift and then gets 2 days off. He says he has not suffered any health problems mining at Marilla, and his $300 monthly salary represents a small fortune in Mali, where the average per capita income is $250 a year. But Jocelyn Mariko, a bony middle-aged woman on her way to work in the fields with a friend, and no direct relation to Mariko the miner, said Marilla has offered nothing but broken promises. She speaks through a translator in Bambara, the local dialect. Ms. Mariko says she used to work with the mine, washing the miners' clothes. But the work is finished now. None of her children have been able to find work at the mine either. So what interest, she asks, should she have in the mine? But across the globe, communities are taking a growing interest in local mines. In Peru, Indonesia, Ghana, and elsewhere, they are demanding better pay and better environmental and health standards, although not always successfully. Striking miners at Marilla last year got the mine to establish a $500,000 community development fund to be tapped after the mine closes in 2011. At Marilla, manager Touré describes the mine as a Rolls Royce in environmental safety. He says its South African owners will comply with international standards when they close the mine 6 years from now. The World Bank, which has established a set of benchmarks on good mining practices, says large transnational companies, like those operating Marilla, largely adhere to them. But activists like Tiamoko Sangare of the Sahel Development Foundation warn Marilla may still be breeding a host of potentially devastating long-term problems, from sulfuric acid leakage to accidental cyanide contamination. Mr. Sangare says the community fund is a drop in the bucket to clean up such disasters. Mr. Togola, Marilla's community relations man, has other worries. If no long-term economic development projects are put in place, he says, people will leave this area after the mine shuts down in search of work elsewhere. And Sanso, the village of his birth, and the village he loves, will become a ghost town with only old people remaining. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Sanso, Mali.